Okay, so this is the next part, which is a short history of Caribbean immigration to Britain. So there you saw this history program, this attempt to introduce to a 21st century family what it was like to go back in the 50s. You can see it didn't look much fun. It didn't look much fun. No Facebook, no Instagram, nothing like that. So let me go through the history of Caribbean immigration to Britain, and then I'll be looking at a short history of racism and anti-racism. So, of course, the origin of the Caribbean population historically is the slave trade, where the British and other European nations took a few million enslaved Africans over to work in the sugar, to work in the cotton, and so on. Of course, this was pretty horrific. This is the symbol of the anti-slavery movement in Britain, and you can see that this is one of the first movements that ever had a logo. And you can see that it's a slave in chains praying and saying, "Am I not a man and a brother?" Now, it's not exactly Malcolm X. Yeah, it looks very supplicatory. But nevertheless, this was the first mass national movement in Britain for social change. Eventually, slavery will be abolished for three different reasons. First of all, there were a lot of slave revolts, yeah, on the ships and in the colonies. There were slave revolts which were very, very expensive for the slave owners. Groups of slaves would escape and live in the mountains of the Caribbean, the maroon communities. The second reason is that there was a big movement in Britain against slavery after the 1780s. It was founded in the 1780s by 12 people. 12 men got into a coffee house in London and said, "Well, we're going to establish a campaign to abolish slavery." Everybody thought they were just completely mad, the 12 of them, whereas the slave trade was the biggest moneymaker ever. Also, it's very important to remember that because the slave trade is so horrible, we sometimes imagine it's like, the heroin trade today. Horrible criminals doing a trade. Absolutely not. It was central to the British economy. For example, every mayor of Liverpool for 50 years, all of them had money in the slave trade. And most shopkeepers who had a bit of money would put some money, invest some money in the slave trade. It was mainstream. It was not marginal. But eventually, it will break down. And here we see one of the leaders of the campaign against slavery in Britain. Equiano was born a slave, and he became a Christian and learned to read and write. And some of his friends bought his freedom, and he became one of the leaders of the anti-slave movement in Britain. And he would go from town to town, giving speeches about what slavery is like and why it was important to abolish it. And these were very, very popular speeches. Now, really, when he went to Manchester, some people were coming to the meetings and saying, "I've never seen a black person. I want to see one." It was a very, very primitive sort of isolated community. But they had some progress in that way. And here you can see one of the London blue plaques then, Alodo Equiano, who lived and published here in 1789 his autobiography on suffering the barbarity of slavery. He was one of the leaders. At this time, I think there were around 10,000 black people in London. So a small community, but nevertheless. Now, as you imagine, the white leaders of the anti-slave movement became more famous, in particular Wilberforce, who worked all his life for against slavery. Well, slavery will be abolished in 1833. In this particular case, the French both win and lose, because the French abolished slavery first in 1794, but then Napoleon brings it back again. And so you have the final abolition in France in 1848. So 1833, slavery is abolished in the British Empire. For a long time, the Caribbean population of Britain is pretty small. It's pretty small. After the First World War, quite a lot of sailors or soldiers from the Caribbean who were in the army decided that, you know, living in Liverpool would be quite a good idea. This went well, but they did suffer from discrimination. Indeed, there was a strike in Liverpool against the black sailors in 1919. The first movements in Britain in the 1930s, the first movement of black people in Britain was the League of Coloured People. This is the name, the official name of the organisation, the League of Coloured People. Now, the vocabulary has changed. Yeah. Today in England, we don't say coloured people. It's considered to be discriminatory because, you know, we're all different colours, and so making people coloured people, it's no longer an acceptable expression. But at the time, this was the League of Coloured People. And here they are organising holidays for black people from London in the 1930s. Yeah, so they're just going off on holiday for a day. So it was a kind of self-help organisation. And one of the, here you have another poster of some of the political sides of it. This is also, I'm pretty sure that this is in the 1930s. Come and hear all about Jamaica from well-informed Jamaicans. Meeting called by the League of Coloured People. So this is the led by Harold Moody, who is a sculptor who came from the Caribbean. So here you have the League of Coloured People, which organises both social and charitable work, taking children on holiday, which is important if you have children, and also political discussion and debate. I've never seen a proper history of this organisation, but there may be one. One of the leaders of the League of Coloured People is Una Marson, and she was a playwright. She wrote plays, I thought this was very interesting. So I bought her biography, but I'm ashamed to say I still haven't read it. It's one of these books which is on my shelf, waiting to be read. But Una Marson, then a playwright in Britain from the Caribbean and a political organizer, so something, you know, something which has had a certain pioneering interest at the time. Now, at the beginning of the television program you just watched, we saw a whole bunch of Jamaicans, I think, arriving on a ship, the Windrush. And the Windrush has become a symbol of that generation of Caribbeans arriving in Britain. It was one of the ships that brought people. This was difficult times because the modern British family in the, yeah. Can you stay with us, please? Thank you. The modern British family in the story, they knew a lot about Britain. But the Jamaicans on the ship, when they arrived, they knew nothing. And one thing that they didn't know was they were not expecting racism. Because they lived in Jamaica where everybody was black. And when they came, they were very, very surprised and shocked to find that nobody wanted to rent them a house. So it was really... took it very, very hard. Indeed, in school in Jamaica, they read, oh yeah, Britain is wonderful. Yeah, Britain loves the colonies. Yeah, that was the information they had. So it could come very, very hard, that beginning thing. And here they are again, then the people from the... Silence. Yeah. They're the Windrush again. There, and here is the list of people on the Windrush. That's not very interesting, but I couldn't find any more pictures about the Windrush. Again, a similar situation to the Asian immigrants. The first generation were often very quiet, not wanting to make trouble. But the next generation, in the 70s, you got also. In reaction to the civil rights movement in the United States, Yeah, they're the beginning in the 60s. Yeah, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the Black Panthers, all these elements in the United States, and you get some of this going on in Britain. So here you have this pamphlet, Black Power in Britain, the Universal Coloured People's Association. You can see the vocabulary has not changed yet. There's also very much a cultural side to this, of course, and there was a tendency to bring to Britain the Caribbean festival, the carnival, which is a tradition of the Caribbean. And these days they have a lot of them. This is a photograph I took 10 years ago in Leeds. And you can see, first of all, you can see that they have spent a long time preparing the costumes. Yeah, they've been working on them for months. And this is a huge thing. And of course, the most famous one is the Notting Hill Carnival in London, where you have often a million people going to the Notting Hill Carnival. Now, the carnival is very, very important because it began in 1958 and became more Caribbean in the 1960s. And in the 1960s, it was even more important because, of course, the carnival is a lot of fun, but the carnival is also saying the streets belong to us. Yeah, we're not going to hide. We want Caribbean music on the streets. Yeah, we are home. The message is we are at home, as well as we want to have a good time. Now the fortunes of the Notting Hill Carnival have been very up and down. In the 1970s, the police tried very hard to stop it. Now they had an excuse because in Jamaica there is quite a tradition of smoking cannabis, which is illegal. So of course the police could easily find a reason to try to stop, and there was a lot of fighting in the 70s at the Notting Hill Carnival between the carnival and the police. This changed in the late 1980s, and today the carnival is very much integrated. In fact, before the carnival, the dancers go into the schools and explain how you make the costumes that the carnival artists are part of. The city culture, and these days it is absolutely huge. Of course, that's 2005, you even see today in 2019 in the metro in Paris, you see a big advert: "Venez au carnaval à Londres, le plus grand carnaval caribéen d'Europe." Yeah, so it's become part of British advertising for tourists. So you get, and this indeed is something we've seen that. Multiculturalism is a political idea of how to work with diversity, but it's become part of British advertising. And indeed, in 2012, when you had the Olympic Games in London and you had the opening ceremony, which is watched by 800 million people across the world, the British government decided that multiculturalism should be extremely visible in this opening ceremony. And so you had rap artists from Britain and so on and so forth. A very, very interesting idea of what's going on there. Now, there are Caribbean British artists who have made their mark. Ronald Moody. J'ai fait une erreur tout à l'heure parce que j'ai dit que Harold Moody c'est une sculpture. Pas du tout, ça doit être son frère ou quelqu'un d'autre. En tout cas, c'est Ronald Moody. This is the sculptures of Ronald Moody that you can see perhaps the influence of Henry Moore or the other way around. In writing, one of the Caribbean British people became very influential is C.L.R. James. And C.L.R. James... as a rather unusual gentleman because he was famous for two things. First of all, he wrote a lot of books about cricket and a lot of articles about cricket. And secondly, he was a revolutionary Trotskyist. It's a strange mix, but that's C.L.R. James, a friend of Trotsky's. Okay, and that's my story about the history of Caribbean people. And I want to go on now then to key dates in the history of multiculturalism, diversity in the UK. This is key dates since 1945. I have about 15 key dates to bring you up to date there.